Zippity doo da, zippity day. More Disney fun is on the way.
Join the fun, it's here for everyone. In Ushmal or Cancun, La Paz or in Tulum.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is our final boarding call and the doors will be closing soon.
WDW Radio,
your information station.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to the WDW Radio Show, your Walt Disney World information station. I am your host, Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 502, and I'm here not only to help you have the best possible vacation experience when you come to the parks, but I also want to bring you a little bit of that Disney magic wherever you are, not just with the podcast, but with my videos, live broadcasts on Facebook every Wednesday night, books, audio tours, special events, cruises, and lots more. You can find everything over at wdwradio.com. So I think that the holidays are truly the most wonderful time of year, and there's no better place or way to experience them than at Walt Disney World. And this year, more than ever, there's so much happening throughout the parks and resorts that I wanted to help you plan your time to get the most out of the seasons and not miss some truly delightful and delicious experiences. So this week, we're going to take you through everything that's happening to celebrate the season with 10 things you need to do, see, and eat during the holidays at Walt Disney World. I'll then have the answer to our last Walt Disney World trivia question of the week, and I'll pose a new challenge for your chance to win a Disney prize package. Then please stay tuned to the end of the show. I'll have some updates and announcements, including information about our next Meet of the Month in Walt Disney World, your voicemails, and more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of the WDW Radio Show.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. We were just reminiscing about Christmas in the old days when
getting ready for the holidays meant hectic days of cleaning house and preparing extra food.
And as I started to say,
when Christmas Day arrived, I was too exhausted to enjoy it.
But today, our new...
Yes, today our new all-electric home gives us lots more time to enjoy it.
The holiday season is upon us. You can feel it in the air. You can hear it and feel it in the air. You can also tell when Christmas music starts playing on the radio. Girls in down vests and Ugg boots switch from pumpkin spice lattes to peppermint lattes, and shopping becomes a competitive sport where you go to Target and Best Buy like they're Mad Max Thunderdomes. But it's also a season of family, friends, and giving thanks in addition to giving presents. And it's also a time that Walt Disney World transforms to a very special experience, and one that I think everybody should enjoy at least once, and by once I mean as often as possible. And I always enjoyed visiting the resorts for the holidays when I was a kid, and it's over time I've watched how it's grown and expanded, not just in places like the Magic Kingdom, but throughout the entire resort. And for many reasons, not the least of which is the additional food options, it really is one of my favorite times of the year in the parks. But there's so much to see and do and eat that it can almost be overwhelming. And so this week, we're going to look at 10-ish things that you need to do, see, and of course eat while you enjoy and share the holidays at Walt Disney World. And as you can hear by the background music, I am not in the home studio, aka fifth bedroom. I am out and about in Disney Springs, one of my favorite places to be any time of year, with some friends, locals, and members of the WDW Radio Nation. I always do ladies first, and I'll also do an order of when I first met you. And joining me is longtime friend and Nation member Beatrice Feeney.
Hiya, yay!
And relatively recent Northeast transplant, Lisa DiNoto-Glassner.
Hey guys, how you doing?
And first timer on the show?
Second? I think there was like a Nation roundtable I was on.
Oh, that's right. Once. That's right. Yeah. But welcome and welcome back, Michael Ruffin.
Hey, how's it going?
And again, we all made the right move, and we have come down here to live permanently. So this being in our backyard is not the worst thing in the world. We can come out to Disney Springs to wander and enjoy the holidays. But so you're all relatively recent on Beatrice. I know you've been here for a while. Is this either of your sort of first time being down here during the holiday season?
It's my first. I moved here in February, so it's my first holiday season living here. Not I've been here as a guest and as a cast member, but this is my first as a local.
Where were you a cast member?
I was at Test Track. I told people the ride was broken all day long.
Lisa, what about you? Is this your obviously first as a local, but first ever holidays here?
I've visited during the holidays before, but I will say that living here during the holidays is a very different experience. So I'm sure we'll talk more about that as we go. But yeah, we just moved down here late this summer, so definitely the first as a local.
So the novelty is not worn off. Certainly not the novelty of being able to come here. Beatrice, right? And you just moved closer.
Yes, sir. 45 minutes was like too far. So you know,
Disney World is so far away.
I'm like 5 miles down the road now, so we're good.
All the people like in Detroit are like, you think 45 minutes is far away? So we do. We sort of almost, you know, we laugh about it. We take it for granted. And you hear me joke all the time about Animal Kingdom being so far away. But I love being, especially this time of year, being able to, especially not even go to the parks, but just come down here and enjoy the holiday decorations. And we'll get to the holiday food offerings. But as Disney enthusiasts and now locals, when you think of holidays at Walt Disney World, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Epcot. I love World Showcase. I love to see how they celebrate Christmas all around the world. And part of that is because of my upbringing. My mother was German. My dad was from Norway. So growing up in North Carolina, when I got here to actually see World Showcase, that just was an amazing experience, which is why it's part of my favorite part, too.
First thing that comes to mind.
As far as location, it's certainly also Epcot. But I think just the spirit of the season down here, and I think the warm weather combined with it being Christmas time is such a unique experience because everyone's still out and about and enjoying. There's so much decor everywhere. I think people are sort of trying to make it feel and look like Christmas, even though it's 80 degrees outside. But I love it. I love how just everyone from the locals in my neighborhood to, you know, obviously, you know, all of the parks and resorts and Disney Springs just sort of embrace the smells and songs and spirit of the season.
It's interesting going to like Lowe's and buying, you know, citronella candles and barbecue grills and also seeing the Christmas decorations out too.
Yeah, and being at Target and there's like the bathing suits next to the winter coats and yeah.
All right, Michael, you had time to think, but first thing that comes to mind.
I grew up in a household with a mother who decorates, not as much anymore, but she used to decorate the house from carpet to drape. I mean, just from floor to the ceiling, everything was decorated. So for me, it's the decorations. I love going into the parks and even Disney Springs. Like this, the garland and everything, even the little subtle decorations, like this stuff, just I love it. And honestly, for me, you know, it's crowded because it's the holidays too. But everybody's in a good mood. Now, cast members are chippier or more chipper, and guests are happier. And that was the craziest thing about being a cast member working on Christmas Day. Everybody was in a great mood. We were packed. It was insane. But everybody was awesome. Everybody was happy. So it's just it's the spirit of it, you know, that just when you get here and it's, you get filled with that Christmas spirit, and you can't help but be happy and be in a good mood.
I agree with you because I believe it or not, I didn't get into sort of the Christmas spirit until I started hitting the Disney parks. I think when I went to Hollywood Studios and saw it decorated, we'll talk about the tower projection show, I was like, okay, I just made the adjustment, I just made the transition, and I got in my car and started playing Christmas music. And like you said, we're sitting here in the shadow of the World of Disney, and there's white lights and colored lights, and the Christmas music's in the background, and there's poinsettias everywhere. It's very, even though it was 85 degrees today, you still get the Christmas. Although we were just saying, we were remarking about how much we're enjoying the fact that it's like 70 degrees, and we're like wearing long pants and long shirts. But I think
we have snow. And I love Snope.
You have Snope.
The bubbly soap, which is fantastic. And the projection of icicles and the different snowflakes. That's fantastic.
We lose out on the building of the snowmen, but we also lose out on the black ice and all that kind of stuff, too. And I will... I'm not missing that at all. But I think for a lot of people, if you say what's the first thing you think about when you think of holidays at Walt Disney World, the first thing that goes that comes to mind is Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to do this, because I think a lot of people don't realize there is so much more to do, and you don't necessarily need a hard ticket to enjoy it. A lot of it's free or included with a park admission, but maybe that's where we start. Maybe we should sort of get the big elephant in the room out of the way. We've all attended either in the past or I attended this year. I think you guys did. You have not attended
this year. But I have a few times in the past. Exactly.
So what is it about Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party that draws you or draws you back in, other than the fact that your kids beg you to go?
So I started thinking about it because I kind of pushed it off in my head as the easy choice when I started thinking about this list. And then when I started thinking about it, I have a long list of things at that party that are not to be missed. I mean, I do think it's something that you should do at least once. It is pricey. It's definitely a big investment if you're already planning on coming down to Disney for a limited amount of time. But from the...
But you're already kind of all in, so you might as well...
Exactly. Like, from this, just walking down Main Street and seeing the tree and the decor on Main Street and just taking that all in, to the street performers doing the Christmas-style stuff, the cookies that they're giving out and the drinks and the special snacks. That Yule log is amazing. There is nothing like watching the Christmas parade and hearing those toy soldiers march down the street. And the holiday wishes fireworks, just, it's a little bit of a throwback to the old wishes, which, you know, always will hold a place in my heart. The magic shot that they're doing where they walk behind you with the wand and do like the Christmas sweater look is so cool. I won't take it all because I'll let you guys go too, but that there's just... I surprised myself with the number of things. The Jingle Cruise instead of Jungle Cruise, I loved. I could go on and on. I mean, I thought the Christmas party was such a good investment. I was so glad that we went this year.
I definitely feel that there was, markedly more this year at the Christmas party and elsewhere than there have been in the past.
For me, with the Christmas party, it's just you... It's like when you go into Magic Kingdom, when you go under the train track and then you come out and it's just this explosion of Disney. And now it's an explosion of Christmas. Like, you walk in, it's just the lights, the tree. It's just you walk. It's like, oh my god! Like, it's so... I tell people almost like, you know, it's... I'm happy that it gets dark so early. So if you get to the party at like 7, and you walk under that train track and it's already dark, and you get that full bang of Christmas, it's amazing. And so that, for me, that's what I love about the Christmas party, is it's just the explosion of Christmas. It's like getting kicked in the face by Christmas. You can't escape it.
The hashtag, getting kicked in the face by Christmas. But you're right, it's the atmosphere of being there. Look, as locals, people ask all the time, like, oh, is it boring for you? Are you jaded? Like, not at all. Like, I found myself, like... I know, I'm weepy and sentimental. Like, I was choked up when I stepped on Main. I get choked up now. Like, with the Snope and the projections and the music and the kids in the stroller. I mean, not my kids in strollers, but other kids in strollers, as long as they're not behind me kicking me with the stroller. But you know what I mean? Seeing the families together in the holidays, there is still something, not to sound corny, there's still something magical about Christmas in Magic Kingdom.
It takes you back to your childhood every single time you see those toy soldiers and those reindeer go by you in the parade, and you're sitting there thinking that it's Christmas morning and, you know, you just opened up your presents. And I mean, it takes me back every single time. And not only the toy soldiers and the reindeer, those are my favorites, but, you know, the holiday wishes, I love that. I mean, it's just, there's nothing like fireworks in the Magic Kingdom. And then when you top it off with Christmas and the projections and everything that they do, the special characters that they have out, the Jingle Cruise with their extra fun jokes and the little additions that they do, I always love it. And I always go for seconds and thirds on the cookies and the hot chocolate. It's fantastic. I mean, there's nothing like Christmas in the Magic Kingdom. Walking down Main Street with the snow coming down and the music. So you are...
And I think people who've never been before are like, oh, I don't need to see extra fireworks, I don't need to see the parade. But I think what they don't realize is how much more there is on top of that. So we have one of the guides in front of us. There are three... six, eight different entertainment add-ons just for the Christmas party. There's Mickey's Most Merriest Celebration, which is on the Castle Forecourt stage, a Frozen Holiday Wish, the Once Upon a Christmas Time Parade, which is my favorite of all, Holiday Wishes, a Totally Tomorrowland Christmas, which is a Christmas party over by the stage, Voice Play over at the Rocket Tower Plaza stage, Club Tinsel,
which was so much fun. They basically take over Cosmic Rays with a Christmas club, and it was so much fun.
It's like they brought Hunkabunka Ballroom from Sayreville, New Jersey, and Disney-fied it and put it into Cosmic Rays. And like you said, Beatrice, there's lots of character appearances too. And in the past, people are like, oh yeah, you get a little bit of hot chocolate, you get the same cookies everywhere. This year, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 7 different holiday treats, not including the holidays, the special specialty foods. So depending on where you go, you get a different treat. So I literally grazed my way around the Christmas party at Tortuga Tavern. I was so thrilled with the Snowman Soft Pretzel. They also have snow cones, ginger molasses cookies at Liberty Square ticket office with eggnog, Pete's Silly Sideshow, Peppermint Crunch Cookie, and Nestle Nesquik. The Village House had a variety of holiday favorites. That was the secret place to go to. The Friar's Nook had Silky Smooth Dove Chocolate and Sparkling Cider. Cosmic Raids had Snickerdoodle Cookies and Hot Chocolate. And Anti-Gravity's had Santa Claus Cookies and Snow Cones. Which was your favorite or favorites of the holiday treats? Because I didn't know this, that there were all these new things. And I heard the angels sing when I walked in, because I was like, forget Jingle Cruise. We need to hit all the treats.
So mine was on the bottom part of the list, that Yule Log. There is a Yule Log that is chocolate with chocolate ganache at Pecos Bill. That is amazing. And then there's another Yule Log at the bakery that's like a white chocolate with a raspberry ganache filling or raspberry mousse.
So those are, you pay for those desserts, correct?
Yeah. They are paid desserts.
Right, the cookies, everything in the holiday treats is included, yeah, but there are some specialty foods.
But I would definitely splurge on a Yule Log if you're a fan. The white chocolate with the raspberry filling was killer.
How did I miss that? I was so full. I won't tell you my favorite cookie yet to spoil it, but I think I had about 19 glasses of apple juice.
Another good thing about it is knowing where everything is. If you're sensitive to a certain type of food or ingredient, you know where to avoid or where to go. Mostly where to go.
See, in being a local, like one of the last things I do is grab a map. So I'm just, it's in my brain to just start heading where I'm going. Like for me with the special characters, when I got to Magic Kingdom, I knew exactly where I was going, which was I wanted to go to Storybook Circus to get in line for the dwarves. Because you can get all 7 dwarves, but if you don't get there at like 5:30, you're going to wait like 2 hours. So
The dwarves are a big draw. Like,
they're huge.
For the Run Disney races, yeah, and for this, yeah, like they're huge, yeah.
I got there at 5:30 and I still waited an hour to get them. Yeah.
Your picture was amazing.
It's my Christmas card this year. It is my Christmas card this year. So I had to go all the way back and get a map so that I could find where everything was. Me, I loved the peppermint crunch at Pete's Silly Sideshow. I went back like 7 times. Something like that.
So I'm not normally a peppermint, but I agree with you. I loved it. But if you go to Pinocchio, so here's the secret tip. If you go to Pinocchio Village House, they have like 3 or 4 different cookies and like 3 or 4 different drinks too. So that's why I made my kids get up and get me 17 glasses of apple cider.
Yeah, I went to the Village House, but I got one of the ginger molasses that's at Liberty Square, because that's definitely what that was. And the other one was like a classic just Christmas sugar cookie. Yeah. And I was like, there's something like, you know, people get that. And a lot of people would think, oh, this is just kind of bland. And for me, it's like, this is classic. This is Pillsbury cut, you know, off the roll.
It's different when you eat it in Disney World and in Magic Kingdom. Yeah,
it was great. I loved it.
But I thought the Snowman Soft Pretzel was a nice addition too, as somebody who enjoys a little bit of savory with his sweet. So, but good. Talk about the specialty foods, which are only available during the Christmas party. I think they were available during the Christmas party, but now they're available all the time. Correct.
So. If they are, I didn't know. I know like the Yule Log and certain of the cupcakes and stuff were only available at the party. I don't know if they've changed that. But yeah, I mean, I didn't have everything. But like I said, I had tried the Yule log at Pecos Bill and then also the one that was at the bakery, and they were phenomenal.
Yeah, so the Yule log cake is exclusive to the Christmas party, but I thought I read somewhere that they were going to be available all the time. So now I think I have to go back because I missed it.
These are like the specialty food. These are like the ones that they, for like the Halloween party, they did the stretching room. White chocolate, didn't they?
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing, I guess.
Yeah, there's art on the piece. There's like a piece of chocolate with beautiful art on it,
right,
like on the side.
I didn't do any of the specialty foods. Now I'm like, man, I kind of need to go back to Magic.
Yeah.
I need to go back to Magic Kingdom.
Now you learned you got to go get your map first instead of going to get your map last.
Yeah.
So there you go. Even the locals can learn a little something. But I still go every year. And you were talking about it, you know, obviously it's a hard ticket thing. If you have a family of four or five, it can get... I still think it's worth it. Like, my kids still enjoy it. My family still enjoys it. Is it a must-do every year for you?
Not every year, but it is a must-do. I've done it a few times, and I will definitely do it again. I just haven't done it yet this year.
I'll admit that I frequently go into the season saying, all right, I'm not going to do it this year. It's, you know, but there's always someone in town to go with that wants to go.
You find an excuse to go.
I find an excuse. Yeah. I've never gone and not been thrilled that I ended up making the decision. So, I mean, it's the same thing with the Halloween parties. It's such a unique experience. I think especially as a local who, you know, I mean, I live 6 minutes from Magic Kingdom, and it's sort of someplace I stop by very frequently. Just to go, like, ride People Mover or something.
It takes you longer to get into Magic Kingdom than it does to drive and park.
It literally does, you know, which is... I'm very blessed for that. But at the same time, it's really cool to be able to go in, you know, once a year and have a very unique experience. So, I mean, I've never thought it wasn't money well spent. And the fireworks themselves and the castle all lit up. I mean, it's the easiest answer in the world, but she looks so beautiful covered in the icicles. I just...
And I think you should try and be there to watch the castle lighting ceremony. Yes. Like, I think it's beautiful how they do it. People complain about the crane is up all the time. Well, there's a payoff that comes. And I love the fact that the party runs from... This year it ran from the 9th through December 22nd, so... Even if you're not here exactly at Christmas time, you still have an opportunity
nice
to see it.
Visiting that you can, you know, if you're coming with your family and you're only able to come, you know, the beginning of November, you still can have that experience.
And so. I think something this you might be able to give me a straight answer on this. I have heard whispers that the week of, like, I guess the week of or the day, like days leading up to Christmas, they will run Once Upon a Christmas Time during the day. That's what I have heard, and I'm like, I've never heard of them doing that before. Maybe that's new this year?
I have seen it outside of the Christmas party and outside of Christmas Day.
Right.
But it was very close to Christmas time, and it was a weekend day.
Like,
but,
it'll run instead of Festival of Fantasy, I guess. I don't know. So.
It did that day.
Okay.
Right, because the trade-off is it may be a little crowded during that week of Christmas and New Year. Like, just a wee bit. I get this question all the time. Like, hey, my family's coming down to Disney World for the first time during Christmas and New Year. What do you think? I'm like, bring your patience. That's all I can tell you is bring your patience. So,
right. Good luck.
All right. So, in addition, so the Christmas party, we agree, it's quintessential Disney. It's a must do if you can do it. But sort of go around. What are some of the other, or what individually, what is like another must do for you during the holidays?
So I'm going to avoid my easiest answer because I'm sure we'll get to Epcot. But yeah, I think that especially if you're traveling and you're not used to budgeting a lot of time off out of the parks, if you're traveling down this time of year, I mean, I think, you know, absolutely budget time for visiting the various resorts. And, you know, you could spend a day just doing a monorail crawl and seeing, you know, the gingerbread houses and trees and other decor at the Grand Floridian and the Polynesian Contemporary. I love going to Fort Wilderness and just walking around and seeing all of the golf carts and what people have done with their RVs with decor. And Boardwalk has great setups. You know, I could go on and on. I mean, they have the marshmallow toasting every night, but doing it with your kids around this time of the year is really special. There's some special food stuff that they're doing. Like, they've got the frozen apple cider and the frozen hot chocolate at the Contemporary and the Grand Floridian at their gingerbread displays. I mean, I could go on and on about just, you know, everything there is to see at the resorts this time of year. But as somebody who doesn't normally budget time to resort hop when I was traveling here as a vacationer, I would definitely recommend, you know, setting aside, you know, at least a part of a day to check out what the resorts have going on.
I mean, I think you can almost do a gingerbread house crawl, yeah, because there are so many. I think
we did.
People think gingerbread house are like they go right to Grand Floridian, which is beautiful. It's 10,000 or so pieces of gingerbread. To watch the time lapse, how they put it together is amazing. This year, they have a special. They have decorating demonstrations. They have a special for pin collectors. They have a gingerbread house pin themed after Mary Poppins. But in addition to that, there's also the huge, like, it is a, if you're a child, it's a life-size carousel at Beach Club, which I haven't seen yet. New this year at Contemporary on the third floor is a Cinderella Castle decorated Mary Blair style with a sort of It's a Small World backdrop. Have you seen it at Contemporary?
It's beautiful. I mean, it's if you're going and expecting the Grand Floridian's gingerbread house, it's not that. It's a very different style. It's more of a flat style. But it's, if you appreciate Mary Blair's style of art, it's, that's exactly what it is. It's the, you know, the Cinderella and Prince Charming you know, characters. There's a ton of hidden Mickeys in the gingerbread house itself, which my kids had a blast looking for. And then you can buy the shingle with the Cinderella shoe on it and some other treats right there.
Shingle and a nice cup of coffee is.
And it's 18 feet tall right there by the mural. Yeah. So you've got the Mary Blair inspired mural along with this amazing gingerbread house that you can buy a piece of, which is awesome.
Well, and one of the other ones I think that you should go see. So we were saying earlier that Disney's Animal Kingdom right now doesn't have a lot for the holidays. But one thing they do have is they have a gingerbread African inspired marketplace. And you said, Beatrice, it's like a 3 foot long gingerbread roll.
Yes,
it's you had me at dark chocolate. That was the only thing I heard.
5 pounds of dark chocolate. I want to eat this thing. It's amazing. I know. It's there through January 2nd, but it's the second year they've done this, and it's pretty cool. So it's something that you could easily miss because a lot of people don't look for things in Animal Kingdom.
There's also the Capitol building, which I think a lot of people don't realize is if you go over to American Adventure, mm-hmm, they have a replica of the Capitol building made out of 50 pounds of gingerbread and 20 pounds of icing. And new this year, right over there, and we're going to go see it as soon as we're done, is the Gingerbread Disney Springs Icon at Amaret's Patisserie. And have any of you seen that yet?
I've seen, yeah, they have that, and they have some gorgeous desserts over there that we should definitely check out.
Yeah, I mean, my choice to be next to the Daily Poutine and Amaret's is incredibly deliberate. I talked about the music and the ambiance, but really I'm just here for the food. But I think that, especially like for kids, and the thing about the gingerbread houses too, is it's free. You don't have to be staying at the resorts. You don't have to pay to go anywhere. And it's something I think for adults and kids to do together. Is that something you try and do every year? Or
I have never seen the gingerbread houses. That's something brand new for me to do this year.
Come on,
it
man.
Is something brand, and I'm saving it. I'm saving it because I have the one of the resident passes. I black out, I think it's like December 18th, and I'm blacked out from like the 18th to like January 1st. This is the days I don't want to go anywhere.
When he started saying I black out, I'm like around 6 o'clock on Saturday night.
Done. You know, no. My annual pass blacks out from like December 18th to like January 1st or 2nd. So I'm like, this is the days I don't want to go anyway. Right. So that's when I'm saving that's going to be my resort time. To go and see the gingerbread houses and go and see this and that. Because I still want to get that Disney Christmas, you know, magic. And I don't want, you know, but I don't have to go into the parks to do it. So that I'm excited about. I've never seen any of the gingerbread houses. I've never seen the Floridian, any
don't
of them.
Go hungry, man. I'm telling you, don't go hungry.
Don't go anywhere you suggest hungry. You have trained me well, Obi-Wan.
All right,
for anyone who hasn't seen it, the Grand Floridian gingerbread house, the shop, the gingerbread house shop is actually located inside the gingerbread house in the back. I mean, it's that big. It's stunning. And the tree in the Grand Floridian is...
But you can almost make an afternoon or an evening. Like, you can go there, maybe have dinner, get a shingle, go to Meisner's Lounge, listen to the Grand Floridian Society. I love that resort. So, I mean, you can do that, and again, without having to go into the park. So, all right. So, Michael, what is then one of your must-dos during the holidays? Or must-eats. It's okay.
I until I, you know, started working, you know, with worship and ministry like I do, I was in school to be a history teacher. And I absolutely love the Epcot storytellers.
Yes.
because it's so, yeah, it's a storyteller, it's fiction, it's whatever. It's historical. There's a chance to learn about different cultures and different ways that the different parts of the world do the holidays, not just Christmas, but because there's stuff with Hanukkah, there's stuff with Kwanzaa, there's stuff, you know, with Christmas. Of course, there's Santa and there's Papa Noel and there's all this stuff. And it, so for me, I can spend an entire day just going country to country to country to do the storytellers, because that's Epcot holidays. Is to do the storytellers. As much as I love Candlelight Processional, and I was able to do Cast Choir, you know, 15 years ago. And so I love Candlelight Processional, but for me, it's all about the storytellers. That's what I always tell people. Take a day, Epcot. You will need a day. You will need an entire day to see them all. But you can do it if you stick to a plan.
And everybody around the table nodded, and we're like, you know, we were excited. So, and we'll go around the table. Who or which is your favorite storyteller and why?
I think I love Papa Noel because it is such classical, like Santa Claus. Like, it is so classic that you can't help but it almost just throws back to like those old like Christmas classics. Like, I watched the Rankin Bass Santa Claus Has Come Into Town the other day, and for me, that's when I see Papa Noel. That's this. It gives me that same feeling.
What country is he from?
Papa Noel is France, right? Yeah. I always get it confused if it's France or the UK. I'm like, oh no.
UK.
I'm like, oh no, which one is it? So, yeah, that's, for me, it's Papa Noel, and then probably Father Christmas.
What about you, Beatrice?
I actually love that little troll in Norway. How fun is that? Like, he just plays around, and, like, she tells the story, and then, oh, what's his name? Now I can't think of it.
I know what it is. I want to hear you pronounce it.
It's like Julid Nissen, or like, I'm sitting here like trying to remember what his name is.
Your mother is Norwegian. Was your father? Somebody's Norwegian.
Yeah, Lynn, I totally blanked out on his name right as I was about to say it.
You can hear him yelling at you now, like, how do you not know how to pronounce it?
I know. Julid Nissen. Something
sure.
Like that.
He's a Christmas gnome.
He's screaming it.
He's screaming it
at whatever device he listens to.
So how is that gnome different than what we in the States know as sort of Santa Claus?
To me, it was just, I never heard the story from my parents because my dad actually grew up here, but just the fact of knowing, like, you know, the pickle in Germany and, like, all the different traditions and everything, you know, from hearing from my parents what they thought it was or how they experienced it. My mother grew up in Germany, so to hear how she experienced it versus, you know, coming here and seeing the Christmas tree here and, like, the little story of the pickle. And the pickle is supposed to be a good luck charm.
Yeah.
Did you know, like, if you give someone a little pickle, basically teaches the children to find the pickle when they first... It's the last ornament they put on the tree. And when the children get up in the morning, they're supposed to... The first child that finds the pickle gets an extra present because they were taught to find the beauty and the ornaments and everything and not just run to see what Santa got them.
And is it true that the pickle tradition started... It's a German tradition, but it started in the United States?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, because my mother was like, I never did that when I was a kid. But I always loved it just because when I came here and learned it, I, like, taught it to her. So I felt like that was special.
And they always sell, if you go to Germany, they sell the pickle ornaments year-round. What's your favorite?
So I definitely have an honorable mention, but my favorite is the Daruma Vendor. I mean...
I had a feeling.
My heart, obviously, is with Japan. I love everything about it, and... Japan is just, it's so fascinating the way they meld pretty seamlessly. Like, I'm going to get this wrong because it's been a long time, but Shintoism, Buddhism, and Christianity are sort of coexist in Japan. And I think the saying is, I'm going to get this wrong, but you're Shinto when you're born, you're a Christian throughout your life, and you're Buddhist when you pass. And it is sort of a seamless web like that. And there's a huge amount of Buddhist influence in the Daruma dolls and the story behind that. But I just love listening to her speak. You learn so much about Japan and Japanese traditions. You know, the history of what the Daruma doll is, and painting the eye, and then when the wish comes true, you paint the other eye. And that the doll itself represents perseverance and good luck and the ability to sit still. I just love listening to her talk. I should mention the Christmas witch in Italy, and we can talk about her too. I love her. I'm sorry. Go ahead. But I just didn't want to not mention her. But no, I mean, the Duruma doll vendor is absolutely my favorite.
And I watched her. I specifically made a beeline. She was the first one I watched this year. I brought some friends along who had never seen her before and didn't understand. They were waiting for, they thought she was almost like a pre-show to have like a Santa-type figure come out. And I'm like, there is no Santa there. But it is so interesting because she's like a street vendor that comes out, and you're right, to understand the history. Like, I wanted to get a Daruma doll and bring it home and do the whole thing with the eyes and New Year's and all that stuff. But obviously, you know, I needed to... La Befana is another one that I think is just very unique because... there's gnomes but she's literally like somebody that would have been at my grandmother's house, like like downstairs in the basement around the table of 25 people in Brooklyn. But she's a witch. She's a good natured witch that, like Santa, breaks into your house. But it's such a fascinating story because I think so many people figure, Italy must be the same. They must have a Santa Claus, and it's not. It's completely different. And I think you're right. I think what I like about the storytellers is the educational opportunity, not just for us as adults, but when you bring your kids and they watch, and you know, I always encourage my kids to ask questions, you know, whether it's asking questions of the storyteller or asking questions of us later, so that there is a takeaway for them as well. So I think they're fascinating too, and
that's why I think with the festivals that we do, you know, with like Festival of the Arts and Flower and Garden, they all have the scavenger hunt, and like I think Flower and Garden has the Easter egg hunt. I think there should be some type. Is there? Is there? Okay, I've not been to Epcot yet this year. So I love spoiler alert. I love that there is a like a scavenger hunt. Like kids get like questions that kids can answer about the storytellers, and maybe they get something for getting their answers correct or something. That way, the kid, you know, it keeps the kids entertained. There's an incentive to really pay attention and learn. You know,
and I think almost just visiting the storytellers and getting like a picture with one is sort of like a scavenger hunt. Anybody can. You don't need to buy a map to do it. You can say, all right, we want to try over the next, you know, 2 days to see all the storytellers, to hear the stories, and to get a picture with the kids with it. But so you mentioned it, and I think this is something else that's neat. We've seen it at Festival of the Arts. We've seen it during Easter time. They do have a scavenger hunt you can purchase. I think it's $7, something like that.
It's $7. It's the Chippendale Christmas tree spree.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's like $7. It's really, really reasonable. And there's just these Chippendales sort of hidden around the various countries. I know you can, like, talk to the cast members, and they'll kind of give you friendly clues to help out along the way. And then once you complete it, there's a pin set, I think, that you get for finishing it. It's fun in itself, and it's also just a really good way. I mean, my kids love World Showcase, but they're 4 and 7, you know, so to take them, you know, and spend a day in World Showcase, it's happy. It's a really nice way to keep your kids engaged throughout a day in World Showcase. You know, when their attention spans might otherwise fall off a little bit sooner than the adults would. So I love that they're incorporating these scavenger hunts into the various festivals, including...
Because as adults, we use World Showcase as our own personal scavenger hunt, whether we're eating around the world, whether some people are partaking of the beverages around the world or the storytellers around the world. So I think you're right. It's something fun for kids to keep them occupied. It's a learning opportunity. It brings you into locations that I think you wouldn't go into otherwise, which is what I really like about that. I see all too often people walking around the promenade, they look down at their map, they say, oh, there's no attraction, there's no nothing, there's no character in there, and they walk by Morocco or they walk by Japan, and they, especially Morocco, I think it's the redheaded stepchild of the pavilions, and I mean that half-jokingly because so many people don't go all the way into the back by Restaurant Marrakesh. There's plaques everywhere, and there's a lot of stories to learn from there. So
the king commissioned it, right? The king. That was the one country I think where the king of Morocco had a real role in, you know, obviously not designing it himself, but approving the
plan. And he sent over 20 some odd Malems to come over and do all the design. And so it's incredibly. And again, Morocco is one of those places that
most of us probably will never get to, so that's as close as we're going to go get to. I still haven't done a live dining review of Restaurant Marrakesh yet either. Interesting. All right. So Michael's raising his hand. So Beatrice, what for you is one of your must-dos?
Definitely always look at the Christmas display. Well, actually, I call it Christmas display. The train in Germany, because they do add little Christmas parts to it. So definitely look for the Christmas in that. My most favorite, always must do, is resort hopping. And I always split it, though, because I do the monorail. I do, like, the Grand Floridian and Contemporary at one point. But then I also do the Yacht and Beach Club and Boardwalk and Swan and Dolphin. And the Yacht Club has a train. The Beach Club has this amazing carousel that's life-size that actually rotates around, and they always post how much of everything they put in there. It always just amazes me how many pounds of chocolate and how many pounds of everything they put into those displays. So, like, that's one thing that gets to me. The sleigh ride at Fort Wilderness. I love the sleigh ride. You actually get to ride a sleigh for 25 minutes around and see all the Christmas decor in the campground. So, and there's also a horse and carriage ride at Port Orleans Riverside. So that's a beautiful Christmas decoration. So definitely take time, and I split it, but I definitely do, like, the monorail resorts one time. I'll do the Epcot resorts one time and do all that. I'll do, like, a Christmas tree hunt. I have all sorts of little...
But that's the thing. Like, you can make your own sort of adventures out of these things. And I'm really happy you mentioned Fort Wilderness and the sleigh rides, because I think those are very far off the radar unless you're staying at Fort Wilderness. I will tell you, one of my favorite things to do every year, I'm going to do it in the next couple of weeks, is on a Wednesday night for a live show, we go to Fort Wilderness, we rent a golf cart, and we drive around looking at all the... Because it is like the way that Fort Wilderness is decorated, not by Disney, but by the residents of the Fort... They have their own little tree trails. They have all these blow-up decors. And you can spend an evening just sort of walking. I wouldn't recommend walking. Rent the golf cart, especially if you have kids. You can fit four or maybe squeeze five on there. But some people hand out candy canes, and there's food, and there's music.
The golf carts are decked out.
Yeah.
People deck out their golf carts, and there's a parade of golf carts at some point. That's so much fun to watch.
Like, the Fort Wilderness is one of those places. If you make it an evening, I suggest starting off at Trail's End, because that's why not? Yes. Stick it to the man at Trail's End. It's one of the best buffets. I haven't done that live dining review either.
Santa goes there on Christmas Eve.
Santa goes
to Pioneer Hall.
Really?
Yeah, on Christmas Eve. He actually hits a lot of the resorts on Christmas Eve, but he actually kind of parks in front of Pioneer Hall to see the kids for a little bit on Christmas Eve, so it's really cool to think.
I like the fact that Santa takes a little me time and gets to spend some time relaxing at the resorts. And what I'm going to transition to one of the things that I love, and part of the reasons why I chose here, is I think Disney Springs is also a destination, whether you're local or whether you're visiting, especially if you don't want to maybe spend money to go into the parks or go to the Christmas party. There's a lot of stuff to see and do here, and I know you're probably thinking he's going to talk about the Christmas tree trail, but what I think is something new this year is... There is actually a character breakfast with Santa and Mrs. Claus at T-Rex Cafe. Right? I think we need to do that. It's on select days in December. I'm quickly looking to try and see what days it is. But how cool would it be to have breakfast with Santa in the ice room at T-Rex Cafe?
I'm in. I've never been to T-Rex.
What?
I've never been. Every time I walk by it, I'm like, ugh, so crowded. There's so many people.
My child, I need to take you, and we need to eat together a lot.
I've told you. Why do you think I always volunteer as tribute for these things?
There's nothing quite like sitting in that ice room and watching your food appetizingly turn from red to blue.
And then going out into the sun and trying to have your... Everything looks orange when you come outside. But Disney Springs has a ton of stuff to do. And actually, when you park at the Lime or Orange Garage, you can pick up a monthly calendar that has all the different activities. One of the things, Lisa, we did with our families was we did the Christmas Tree Trail, which runs every day from about 10 or noon to about 10 p.m. And I think this year there's 25 trees. There's 10 new trees, all inspired by different characters or stories.
again, there's no wait. You can just walk up and walk right through it. It's great photo opportunities.
It can get crowded depending on the time and the day.
Right.
Like I came on like a Friday night and it was super crowded. But there's a Peter Pantry, and as soon as I saw it, I like the waterworks just kicked in. I was like, so
look at the detail. I mean, on that particular tree, there's a pirate ship, there's Tinkerbell, and on every single tree, there's a decoration that if that's your favorite tree, you can go and get that decoration and take it home. So not only is it your favorite tree and it's like a memory of your trip, but you have a little piece of that tree to bring.
Spoiler alert. To combine your two stories, I went to World of Disney the other day to get a Peter Pan ornament, and they were sold out. They were sold out of Peter Pan ornaments. So the Peter Pan tree was obviously a big hit. Would you have a favorite tree?
I don't know. I mean, I loved the Rapunzel tree. I thought the Villains tree was just very, very unique. I mean, Peter Pan, obviously. We were there like on a Sunday afternoon, and it wasn't that crowded at all. As you're going, another thing that's nice is Santa is in there, and the way that they do it is you get a pass, and they tell you when to come back. So if you can swing it, you can kind of go in and go to Santa and get your pass, and then sort of pass the time that you're waiting inside of, you know, seeing all of these different gorgeous, gorgeous trees. Definitely bring your wallet because you are going to see decorations that you want. There's a tree at the very end that's just decked out in like every ornament you could possibly daydream about. There's Haunted Mansion ornaments and just you're gonna have a list to go pick
and up not too surprisingly, go. Once Upon a Christmas store is right around the corner.
Right there, right.
But I think it's really cool how they do the Santa Chalet, and I think it's new this year where it is and the way they do it, because what you do is you go, in order to meet Santa Claus, you don't wait in a queue. You check in at the podium, you give your mobile, your cell phone number to one of his little elves, go out, you shop, eat a little bit more, and then they'll get a text message giving you sort of a 10-minute window to come back, rather than, because in years past, the line for Santa was like the line for Santa.
Last year they gave out buzzers, because they gave out like little restaurant pagers,
right.
Because we came in September and they were out of buzzers. We were here during free dining, so that's just always a crazy time. So it's you got a restaurant pager and you came back, and the location was different. I'm trying to remember exactly where he was last year, but this year he's at the end of the Christmas tree trail. So honestly, what you can do is you go in and give up your number and then make your way backwards through Christmas tree trail, and depending on how fast you go, you might not get very far before you come back, because they post the wait time on the outside of the Santa's Village to tell you roughly about how long. When I went the night I went to the Christmas tree, it was 150 minutes.
That week, I noticed the Sunday afternoon that we were there, which was, you would expect it to be, you know, pretty full. It was a 30-minute wait. Yeah. So it's not always terrible.
But, you know, the Christmas tree trail, the kid, I mean, we have kids of different ages, but they all enjoy it, whether they're trying to spot, you know, the characters or look for their favorite ornaments. It snows on the Christmas tree trail, which is nice. You mentioned Snope before. But there's other things to do and see, and obviously eat down here as well. There's actually a Stitches holiday gift hunt, which is at the... I want to go into World of Disney when we're done here and try it out. You need to find Stitch in a scavenger hunt throughout Disney Springs. Once the mission's complete, you visit one of four different redemption centers to get a festive surprise. And I don't know what that festive surprise is, but I hope it's delicious. We might have to do it just to see.
So you're not really sure if you want it or not. You're like...
There's also a lot of special events in a number of different stores, depending on when you go. There's trunk shows and holiday releases. Again, Breakfast with Santa at T-Rex, I just looked, takes place from 8 to 10 a.m. on December 2nd, 3rd, 9th, 10th, 16th, and 17th. So there's only 6 days to do it. You can call 407-WDW-DINE. There's also a lot of artist appearances throughout here as well. And they give you a little calendar inside so you can see what other special events are going on, like National Cocoa Day, National Cupcake Day, National Hamburger Day. Hello,
hey,
Deluxe
National
Burger.
National Sock Day.
Yes.
National Sock Day. What?
I don't wear those.
But it's, you know, it's neat, and there's a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, the Void, the Star Wars experience, is going to open up here next week, so I'm looking forward to check it out. But again, just the music, I love the live entertainment down here. One of my favorites. So we're right by one of the living statues in front of Amaret. I love the rolling piano. I just think, and I think that's new, this or last year was the first time I know one of the performers, but you talk about an unexpected surprise for guests as he or she comes rolling up. I think that's really neat.
That is awesome. I love it. Another thing to think about this year, if you're coming, Cirque du Soleil is going to be ending very soon, so try to fit that in if you want to see that.
Have you ever seen it before?
I have not seen La Nuba.
Have you seen La Nuba?
What?
As I'm choking over here.
Oh, my! You're choking because you haven't seen La Nuba. I've seen it a number of times. I saw it. I took my son last year. I love Cirque shows. I've seen a lot in Las Vegas. I think this one is ready for retirement. Have you ever seen a Cirque show at all?
No.
Vegas. Do I ask which ones you see? Very different. Yeah. But you know, I would love to see a Cirque show return, maybe integrating some Disney IP, some Disney characters in there, because I think it'll be a much bigger attractor for families to know that Baymax, Olaf, Peter Pan, Spider-Man would be amazing, right? Right? I see what you did there. It would be amazing.
Cirque show. Yeah. What I would love to see, because I'm a theater kid. I've done almost 20 years of musical theater. I would love to see, and I know we're getting the theater in Magic Kingdom coming sometime. I would love to see with stuff like, you know, you've got Frozen that's getting ready to go to Broadway. You've got Tarzan. Hunchback got an amazing new treatment a few years ago. Disney, the Disney on Broadway has an amazing talent. I would love to see that become a rotating Disney on, like, Disney Broadway style house where that's what... It's always changing. Like, oh, for, you know, from February to May, it's this show. And then from this... Or even better, put something the original. Like a new Disney original show, Disney Broadway, in that theater and make that where it stands. You know, that way when you're here, it's like La Nuba. If you want to see it, you've got to come here to see it.
Right, because we're locals, but there are some people that, you know, the average trip is once every 3 to 5 years. Having something that's there all the time, but I also do like, and maybe this is because we're local, I like the idea of sort of a show that rotates through. You could have Disney on Ice, you could have the Marvel show, you could have a Frozen show, so there's always a little bit something new. I this is me speculating, I think that section, I think the west side of Disney Springs is next to get a little more TLC and a little pixie dust sprinkling beyond NBA experience. I think the next 18 months there are going to be very interesting. So, anything else in Disney Springs that we missed or that you need to do here? I think we pretty much covered a lot. But like you, I just say it. Like before you guys got here, I was just wandering around. I wasn't grazing. I thought about it, but it was just it was so nice to be able to get like we prefaced the segment by saying that spirit of the holidays without having to go into a theme park. So.
What? I actually loved when I got here tonight to take a photo of like the Christmas tree, the balloon, the food trucks. I was like, this is Disney magic right here. You know, it's a beautiful moonlit night, you know, like full moon. It was just a gorgeous temperature. I mean, there's nothing better than to just be here. So
this is a night that people move to Florida for. The weather's perfect, the holiday decorations, it's not very crowded, and there's poutine like steps away.
I'm like, is it? I mean, say you have a dopey in January. I have the 5K. Is it too early to carb load? Because
no,
routine right
no.
there.
No. No. Michael, my son, you should be carb loading all year long. So
training runs need fuel.
I know.
Training runs. I was thinking Netflix. All right. So, all right, Lisa, what is next on your must do list?
I could go in two directions. All right, I'm going to go to Hollywood Studios because we haven't been there yet. I want to go back to Epcot, but...
I think we're saving Epcot. We'll save Epcot for last because that's the big...
So, I mean, I think sort of to take a step back, Hollywood Studios at this time of year, and this is in part speaking as a new local, sort of enjoying the novelty of the holidays in Florida,
But if you want to be like punched in the face by like the irony of celebrating Christmas in Central Florida, go to Hollywood Studios. I mean, I think I posted a picture yesterday when we went over there in the morning spontaneously of just looking down the main drag at the rows of palm trees and the Christmas decor. The blue skies, and I mean, there's a lot to talk about, I think, this year at Hollywood Studios. They have a lot going on.
Which right now people don't think. It's you know, it's being called, and because it's in a transition phase,
yes.
It's the half-day park, there's not a lot to see to do, and I agree with you. I say nay-nay.
Right. I mean, I think that they have really been so smart about making Hollywood Studios, you know, the lights are not there this year. And that's, you know, I think a lot of people were sad about that. But what they're doing in Hollywood Studios to, you know, make it sort of a focal point for the holidays is so smart. I mean, we mentioned, it's silly, but we mentioned, you know, before we started, they're giving out these annual pass holder, you know, car magnets. That's basically the AP pass holder car magnet that has the Christmas lights on it, just to kind of, you know, bring people in and get something fun. And they're super cute. We got a few yesterday, but they're doing the sunset season's greeting on Sunset Boulevard. That's absolutely beautiful. You've got your Snope and they do the billboard shows with the elves. I think there's like a Muppet theme and Mickey, like Frozen, Carol. And Mickey, and then they do that, and then they follow up with these gorgeous projections on the Tower of Terror, which is just this amazing. I mean, you when I first heard it about, I was like,
think about, right.
When I first heard it, I was like, ooh, don't do that to my Tower of Terror, but it's gorgeous, and it's just this huge, beautiful screen for the projections that they're putting up on it. You know, similar to what they do on the Chinese theater during the Jingle Bell Jungle Bam, you know, fireworks show. There are these beautiful sort of building facades that are available in Hollywood Studios that I love to see them making use of with these new projection shows that they're integrating into the you know, the fireworks show, obviously, there, and then what they're doing on Sunset Boulevard.
I think Sunset Boulevard is beautiful in and of itself at night, and I love their vintage looking decorations that sort of hang from all of the lights. Now with the falling Snope and the billboards, the music is beautiful. I love this. I think there's four different orchestral arrangements that they created just for it. Again, I think you said Mickey, Toy Story, Frozen,
Muppets,
and Prep and Landing. Yeah. So I think there's something for everybody and every age group in there as well. You guys have both seen it?
Yes, I loved it. I absolutely loved Osborne Lights, and for all those people that miss it, it's a wonderful transition to go over to Tower of Terror, because when I saw down the street all of the green and the red palm trees, and it just seemed to be a great new addition. Like, we always love change. We always love new things. As much as we love the old things, we still love change and new things. And, in fact, the movie show that they have, it transitioned the Great Movie Ride into something new and wonderful. So, I mean, I just had a blast there the other night when I saw, you know, the fireworks there. I mean, it was everything. It was just like, this is fantastic. I want to do this again. So, I mean, that was me. That's my, like, new thing this year, is to, like, just hit that. Echo Lake has been drained. There's a beautiful Christmas tree there. Gertie has wearing, like, this Santa cap. I mean, it's so festive. It's so much fun.
They've really decked that park out throughout the entire park for the holiday. Michael, have you seen it yet?
What, the tower? Oh, yeah. I was there. I went there for the first night of Flurry of Fun Sunset Season. And when I saw the picture, which is on the, looking at the, you have the pass holder monitor, looking at the, when I first saw the picture of it, my initial reaction was, what have they done? I'm like, what is this?
I had, like, birthday party castle flashbacks.
Oh, I did. Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly. I was like, oh, my God, it's the cake castle all over again. And I'm like, and then I saw it. And I was like, okay, I was wrong. Like, this is awesome. Like, this is really cool. But with Echo Lake, the thing I love about Echo Lake is with, you know, I talked earlier about my mom, how her decorating. My mom doesn't buy new decorations every year. She buys things occasionally. But it's been the same ornaments since I was a kid. And on the light poles at Echo Lake, there are these little, like, round, I don't know what to call them, extensions, lights, torches, lanterns. I don't know what to call these things. But there's like a Rudolph, there's a Belle, there's a Santa Claus. And they look so classic. They look like they were probably like drawn in the probably the 50s, maybe 60s. They're that... Yes, those. They are. I saw those, and I was like, that brings me back home to like a childhood Christmas, and that's what I love about Hollywood Studios. Is with Disney, it's very easy for them to get lost in their own branding, Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, everything Frozen, everything this, and with Hollywood Studios, it's all classic. It's all classic Christmas, and I was like, this is awesome. This is perfect. This is exactly what it is. And then, of course, if you want, you know, the over-the-top Disney Christmas, you have the Tower of Terror show, which is amazing. But if you want classic Christmas, go over towards Echo Lake.
And I think it strikes a good balance, because what we consider classic Christmas, our kids are like, oh, really? It's so old. But it is. It's classic for us. I think that brings that sense of nostalgia. But then when they see Wayne and Larry from Prep and Landing, that is for them what they're growing up with. So even things like Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. I keep on calling it Jingle Jam.
Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam.
They have classic Christmas, but they also have things that kids enjoy as well. And one of the things I love about that show, when the first time I saw it last year was the first time I'd seen it anywhere. From what I understand, it happened by accident when the snow is falling and the lasers are coming across. The snow looks like it's like electrified as it's coming through the laser beams. And they said it happened by accident the first time they did it. Like, oh, we need to integrate that into the show. And now it's sort of a hallmark of that show.
I need to go see Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. I have not seen it ever. I didn't see it last year, and I haven't seen it this year so far. So
I think it's a fun show, and I've done it. I did the dessert party, so there's a dessert party option too. I will give you a hint. Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam is best enjoyed not as close as you can be to the theater.
It's like Star Wars.
You need to be back. Yeah, you need to be a little bit farther back. Even maybe off to the side a little bit, because there's things happening, you know, in 180 or so degrees. Same thing for the tower show. Don't go up to the tower. You want to be back by Once Upon a Time so you can see the projection. I think there's two screens that they have on either side of Sunset Boulevard. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say something about... Oh, yeah, so it's like Star Wars Galactic Celebration. Is that the normal show? It's like that. I tell people, you don't get as close because... I always kind of stand back, not on the street, but right there at those kind of khaki-colored columns. I always stand about right there because that's right there by Hollywood Brown Derby. Like, right there in that little cove is always a great spot for me. That's where I always watch Star Wars.
And I've never done this before, and maybe this is new this year. They have a Minnie's Holiday Dine. Anybody ever try that before?
Is that the Hollywood Vine?
At Hollywood Vine. It's a dinner dance party with music, holiday decor, and great food, obviously. And if you're a pass holder, you get 10% off on food and non-alcoholic beverages.
You get our dining discount.
Interesting.
Ooh. Yeah. I've done the Halloween one before, which... I imagine it's roughly about the same thing, probably just different themed food, and obviously they're in their different costumes. If it's like the Halloween one, like all the characters are in different costumes, it's a lot of fun. So I'm imagining that's kind of what the Christmas one would be like, is they're probably all in different Christmas outfits. So it's a chance to get, you know, when I went to Halloween, it was Minnie, Goofy, Mickey, Donald, Daisy. But they were all in costumes that you would never get them in anything else. So if you're a character nut like me, who loves meeting characters, then you... it's a great time to get some characters that you won't even get at the Christmas party because it is different. I thought Mickey at the Halloween party and Mickey at the Halloween dine would probably be the same thing. No, totally different costumes. So it was two different like theming things. So if you're a big character nut like me, those are fun to go to. Plus food, you know.
No, I have not done that yet, but I believe in that one, the mini Hollywood and dime. I think she's wearing a red dress, like almost like a party dress, like a little dancing dress. So, I like her dress. Like, I want to go because I love taking pictures of characters that are in different costumes, like Santa Goofy and, like, all these different kinds of things. Those are one of the things that I always look for. So, if she's wearing that red dress, I might have to be there.
So, I think I heard you mention food, which may be a good transition point because maybe we'll talk a little bit about the food throughout the parks and resorts and then make our way over to Epcot because that's sort of the granddaddy of what's going on because... There are a ton of unique holiday food items throughout the parks and resorts, not just at the Christmas party. So, for example, in Magic Kingdom, they have a Nightmare Before Christmas cake push pop at Sleepy Hollow Refreshments. Have you tried that? It's got layers. Wait a minute. Orange vanilla cake, cranberry cherry mousse, white crispy pearls, cream cheese, buttercream, and holiday sprinkles, topped with a chocolate piece featuring Santa Claus, the enchanted Christmas bell dessert at Gaston's Tavern, prep and landing themed gingerbread cupcakes, hot chocolate, what? Hot chocolate flight at Min and Bill's?
What?
What? Wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry, kids, this isn't for you. It's 21 and up because it's a hot chocolate martini. Bailey's salted caramel hot chocolate or a black cherry bourbon hot chocolate.
Yes, please.
If you're feeling adventurous, get the hot chocolate flight and try all three. Olaf themed desserts are throughout Disney's Hollywood Studios. We'll get to Epcot Center. There's also 100 different holiday inspired libations. Kids, that means drinks. Again, not for you two. There are 100 holiday-inspired libations using traditional holiday ingredients like baking spices, cranberry, chocolate, pumpkin, and marshmallow. We lost Lisa. She just ran off. There's a black cherry bourbon hot chocolate at Dockside Diner in Hollywood Studios. Morimoto Asia has a winter wonderland. Paddlefish has a pecan espresso martini. I'm going through the list because...
Wait,
because
isn't that just over there?
It's right there. So, Trader Sam's has a tropical snowstorm. There's a ton in...
Trail Zen had a bunch, too.
Really, there's 100. So they are throughout the resorts. And again, there's a huge variety of specialty foods that you'll find in the resorts and in the parks. But I think we need to make our way over...
And
to
Trader Sam's the way I do, if you order a tropical snowstorm, I want to know what happens. Because usually things happen when you order their stuff.
You should go for it. Like, just take one for the team and go and order one just to see what happens.
Is it bad that I want to go to Trader Sam's and get the Nautilus just because I want the glass? Like, I just want the glass. I don't, like, you know.
Listen, man, people stood online for hours to get some of those unique ones, and the tiki's when they came out.
I have the ghost, the Hitchhiking Ghost one. Somebody got it for me. So I, but what I was gonna say, it'll come back to me once we move to a new subject. So, I was gonna say, where can I get eggnog in my mousse glass? That's all I want.
Oh, and before we hop to the big boy, Epcot, obviously, I wanted to share that. So I often get quote-unquote stuck eating at the lunching pad because I'm always at Magic Kingdom with my two small children, trying not to spend a ton of money on food, and they're big, you know, easy hot dog kids. So the lunching pad, and I understand Cosmic Rays, has a hidden menu item. It shows up on the mobile app, but it's not on the main thing. It's a pulled pork sandwich with cranberry slaw.
What?
And you can get cheese on it. And I was so excited because I'm always... you know, getting hot dogs for my kids at lunching pad, and it was really good. I mean, it was a simple little sandwich, but it was like, it was coleslaw with like dried cranberries mixed in it. It was really good pulled pork, and you can get cheese on top. So I was like, I was so excited. I was so excited to have like a good, really tasty meal at the lunch.
Magic Kingdom wasn't so right. Who would think the lunching pad, right, which is normally where I'd go for like the cream cheese jalapeno. These are the jalapeno the cream cheese pretzels.
And you posted about the sushi at lunching pad.
The cool ship, excuse me.
I tried that on Dapper Day, thinking, okay, it's $5. This is not going to be great. Joe, so under expect and over, you know, deliver. So I try. It was really good.
Yeah?
I was like, obviously it's no Morimoto Asia. Right. It's no, you know, Tokyo Dining. But for...
Sushi at Magic Kingdom.
For $5... Yeah, it was good. I liked it. So,
I might have to go take a research trip over to Magic Kingdom sometime soon, just to.
We've come a long way from just the holiday sandwich at Earl of Sandwich.
Yeah, no kidding.
We've come a long way, baby.
Listen, they have holiday poutine at the Daily Poutine
with the stuffing on.
We're so going to get that as soon as we're done. But this year, Epcot is celebrating the Festival of the Holidays. Lisa, I think, is dancing or seizing, one of the two.
Officially a festival now. Got the festival park.
Well, you know it's a festival when you get a passport.
When you get a passport.
And this year they have the holiday passport. It runs from the 19th of November all the way through December 30th. And when your passport is 25 pages long, you know that there's lots of good stuff inside. Now, to be clear, the Festival of the Holidays isn't just about the food. We didn't even touch on the holiday, the ton of holiday merchandise available throughout the resort. There's tons of holiday entertainment. There's Illuminations has the holiday tag at the end, although I do miss Walter Cronkite at the very end. But I think something, too, was they've been really cognizant of, for the Epcot festivals. Look, and I think as soon as this is over, like, doesn't Festival of the Arts start right up not long after that in January 12th, so just a couple weeks after? They're really cognizant of the fact that they want to have things for kids. So there are a lot of kid-friendly dining options in there, as well as KidCot fun stops. There's different photo opportunities. There's cool little holiday crafts. So, for example, if you go and you need to go into the Odyssey to go to the cookie nook, because there's like 18 different types of delicious cookies. But they also have little holiday crafts. So you or your kids can go and make snowflakes. And it's all free. It's all included. So I like the fact that they have a lot of stuff for kids to do. Including the Christmas tree.
I love is that they give you the passport, which is basically a free souvenir, and that for the kids and me who love to get their passport stamped, you don't have to go up and interrupt every line. You actually have the stamps here that you can put in the place, and you can do it yourself without jumping in front of people when there's already
honor
a
system.
Long line.
Honor system. Right. You gotta
I know,
see,
right?
See, the kids have, like, the Christmas tree and the Easter egg hunt to get their stamps. See, we adults, we get to put a sticker in our passport every time we get a drink in Epcot.
I use them when I tackle the different food options. Because
it's anytime you get anything from one of the stands.
I don't earn my sticker until I've wiped out the stand. Wow. Not necessarily alcohol options.
I clear
the slate.
So let me just be clear, because our friendship could be riding on this. You make sure you try one of everything at the stand in terms of food options.
Everything.
Up top. I just gave her a high five. Because I think that the only way to really understand and appreciate it is to make sure you do the entire, you run the entire gamut. So I think that's the way to do it and do it right. I'm so hungry right now.
Right?
So, Michael, you haven't done this as yet, correct?
I have not. I have not gone into Epcot yet.
Beatrice, have you done it?
Probably going to do
it. Have you been
there? No, not yet.
Oh, my goodness. You guys don't know what you're...
You guys go through all the food last week, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I got to get in there.
This one right here is always posting pictures of food, and I'm like... killing me, Lisa.
So there are 15 different outdoor kitchens, and I think, much like Flower and Garden Festival, I think that's like a sweet spot.
Yeah.
Because
have these food carts, have they been there since the Flower and Garden Festival without moving?
Yeah.
And I'm like, are they trying to come up with a way to not have to move?
Just have to move them.
Because,
right?
No, but look, it makes sense, because to have a special event, look, the outdoor food, the marketplace kitchens, like, that's a theme park attraction to me. Like, those are the things that I really look forward to. So I used to be sad. I would shed a silent tear when Food and Wine used to be open, and then I had to wait for Flower and Garden. Now there's a little bit of a special event. There's different, but the marketplaces change every year, and I have not tried it all yet, but between Food and Wine this past year and now Festival of the Holidays, Chef Greg and your team, the food is remarkably good. I'm looking at you both, and you who are listening.
I was drooling last week when you showed those videos.
And what I like about it, too, to put an edutainment spin on it, is there is a little bit of entertainment value, too, but it's an educational look. One of the things that they did was they really wanted to bring food. And Chef Greg had even said, when they had talked about like that meat pie with the ketchup, he's like, you know, ketchup. Like, but he realized that's how it's eaten. And they talked to a lot of the cast members, and they said, yeah, this is what we eat at home. So you can learn about, I say all the time, I think the way to learn about a culture is not just through its storytellers, but through its food.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I think, you know, it just, it makes, I mean, obviously,
Epcot is largely about the food for a lot of us. I know that's the case for me. But, you know, it's we talked a lot about the storytellers. They actually have each country is sort of, you know, they're set up as sort of a street in that country. And it's decorated as that country would decorate. You know, France has sort of the snowflakes going across the street. You see the flags across in Mexico, which is sort of done up for cocoa right now also. And the food, I mean, it's amazingly delicious food, but it's also, it's traditional holiday food for each country. So, you know, I'm sure we'll talk a lot about the soba in Japan, but that is a traditional holiday food there. You know, so I love the fact that, you know, we're not only eating this amazing food as we could go around World Showcase, but you're really sort of learning about what the traditional treats are there, be it, you know, a savory, a sweet, and, you know, an alcoholic drink or a regular drink, that people in that country would enjoy at this time of year.
So, and I think Mexico is a great example. So if you look in the book, they talk about the Las Posadas celebration. So you join the pageantry of Las Posadas with dancers, piñatas, and the music of Mariachi Cobre. There's also a second group there that is doing the music from Coco, which was really a lot of fun. And there's three different food items. I think I have to do a separate show about the festival of the holiday food. We might have to do like a little walkabout one day during the day.
I volunteer as tribute.
Nation people, we're going to come together and we're going to do that. But they have three different food items. I will tell you, spoiler alert, I tried all three. They had a tostados, a tamal, and buñuelos, which are very different than what I was used to. And then they had four different drinks. And then they had a lot of holiday-themed merchandise as well. And you found that not just there, but in every one of the pavilions, as well as things like the cookie nook and some additional...
Three Kings area that was wonderful. Yeah.
Right. So, okay, there. Showcase Plaza is the Festival of the Three Kings. They also have Three Kings bread, roasted pork, coquito, chocolate, peppermint glazed croissant donuts. Michael, listen, man, you're local. You're missing the peppermint sundae. Somebody had the Shipyard Candy Cane Coffee Porter. They have frozen s'mores. They have Nestle Hot Cocoa. But every single one of them, and I did not do a full dining review, has that combination of traditional entertainment, traditional foods, and then other things to do or merchandise to bring home as well. Was there one that stuck? Was it Japan?
As far as food, yeah. Or as far as
anything.
So, I've barely scratched the surface of this amazing book of food and beverage. But I think the three things that I loved so far were the meat pie at the Yukon stand, which was amazing. And I'm sorry, but like the ketchup is it needs that ketchup. It's like, and it's not like Heinz ketchup. It's like a hearty sort of chunky brown ketchup. That was phenomenal. And it tasted like it was spiced with like a clove or it was something. It was really good. They have a salmon there that I really want to try. There was a Bouche de Noël, a maple Bouche de Noël at that Yukon stand that was fantastic. The tamale in Mexico was killer. And of course, the soba in Japan. I mean, it's a big hearty bowl of soba noodles and shrimp tempura and chicken. I think my children and I both, you know, ate it for quite some time. And they serve it to you in, it's a disposable bowl, but it looks like pottery.
I kind of wanted to bring it home. I wanted like a set of eight for my house.
Yes, it was, yeah, I mean, there's so many other things I'm excited to try, you know, at the festival. The cookie nut stuff was phenomenal. That gingerbread cookie with the cream cheese and preserves on top. Was really, really good. I could go on and on. I literally ate everything at Food and Wine, so I feel like I'm
you're still full from Food and Wine.
I feel like, you know, I've just barely scratched the surface of this lovely book.
Yeah, the Cookie Nook has, I believe it's seven different cookies. I did a live video. They gave us a little preview. I did a live video. If you go to the Facebook page, you can find it there. And the cookies are not sort of small, you know, they're giant plate-sized cookies, but the ginger snap cookie, right, with the cream cheese icing and cranberry jam, It's almost a knife and fork. Michael, like, right? It's almost a knife and fork. I know you don't do the cranberry thing.
I'm definitely allergic to cranberries. So I'm like, oh, this sounds so good, cranberry. No!
They'll do it without the cranberries.
Will they?
Yeah, yeah. They'll make it, right. But they also had gingerbread cookies. They've got the double chocolate peppermint cookie with itty-bitty teeny tiny little peppermint candy canes on top. The food is remarkable. It's fresh. It's plentiful. And I was with you on the Japanese soba noodles.
You know what surprised me was the turkey, the slow-roasted turkey in the American.
Do you know why? Do you know what the key to the slow-roasted turkey, which I ate like just days after Thanksgiving, is they take the stuffing and they press it down and they griddle it. Yahtzee.
Brilliant.
Don't tell me you're allergic to stuffy, because
no, no, I can have that. I can have plenty of that. So that's the thing with Thanksgiving. I can't eat cranberry, so I get to eat double stuffing.
You can eat double stuffing anyway, whether you can allergic to cranberry or not.
That cheese fondue and
oh, with the bread, and then you take the bowl of bread with the cheese in it, and you eat the entire bowl of cheese.
What?
It's not want not.
Why did we do this in Disney Springs and not Epcot? Yeah. I mean, look, you can and you should, I think, make a day of just wandering the promenade to partake of the storytellers and the food. I mean, and Festival of the Holidays, like, if you want to do it all, you can't do it all in one day.
No. I don't think you can hit all of the entertainers in one day.
I can't even eat that much. I can't eat that much in one day.
You have to do 2 days of that.
And look, we would be remiss if we did not mention, obviously, the Candlelight Processional, which I see every year at least once or twice. I am not man enough to admit, like, some of the music moves me to tears because it is so beautifully arranged. Is that something you guys try and see? You perform there, but you try and see every year?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you try and pick a certain story, like a narrator, or is it just convenience, or do you try and go multiple times?
Sometimes I do. I've actually loved Whoopi Goldberg. Everyone loves Neil Patrick Harris. That's always the fantastic one.
Actually being Christmas.
But there are so many. I mean, absolutely any one of them. This year, Pat Sajak is here. I'm kind of excited about that one. They've done a lot of things here lately. The 35th year of Wheel of Fortune. So Pat Sajak's been here a lot. So he's going to be a narrator. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, he's one of the new ones. Lori Hernandez was a new one. Matt Bomer was a new one. Pat Sajak. CCH Pounder. Warwick Davis is going to be here. Star Wars nerds. And the one that I chose to go to, which I am super psyched for, is Kurt Russell.
Yes. Right? And I'm so jealous that DVC gets to, like, meet him. And I'm like, I need to find somebody who's DVC that I can, like, plus one with so that I can meet Kurt Russell.
You're right. Sitting in between two DVC ladies, just so you know.
I'm just saying, like, you know.
But I look.
You can keep your top of the world.
I will go
and meet Kurt Russell.
As a quick tangent, I love that because membership should have its privileges, and I think that is a really nice gift to Disney Vacation Club members that they do that. So what is it? You get to go to the DVC lounge and meet Kurt Russell and try some of his delicious wine?
Yeah, it's like a 90-minute discussion with him, and he sort of speaks to his experience with, you know, wine and other things.
All right, forget that. If you could get one question with Kurt Russell, if you could meet him, you have no time to think about it. Go.
Was the mustache and tombstone real?
I think I would just be like, hi.
Would you ask him about Guardians of the Galaxy? Would you ask him about the legend of Walt Disney saying his name was the last thing he ever said? You don't know that story?
Yeah, what? I know that story.
What?
I do not know that story.
This is, it's somewhat true. It's somewhat urban legend. You can take as much or a little bit as you. Supposedly, Walt Disney's last words were Kurt Russell.
Why?
Well, I think, and there's, I think Jim Corcus and I will talk.
Why do you want that pressure on me?
Well, he had just started working with the Disney company, and Walt was very, very fond of him. I think they were in production for a film that he was going to be in, so who knows what was supposed to come after that, right? Kurt Russell, never again. Kurt Russell, let him be in everything, whatever it was, but it's coming full circle that he's here, and I'm super excited to see him. And I saw Anna Gasteyer the first time. But what I like about this is, and everybody does it a little bit differently, is each of the narrators sometimes inject some of their own personality into it, sometimes to their advantage, sometimes maybe to their peril. But I like some, you know, Neil Patrick Harris does that a lot. He talks about his family that's in the audience. He talks about his personal experiences. And I love that. Like, I don't want to just have somebody there who's reading it. I want somebody there who's going to share why they're there, why the holidays are special to them. And I think he does a really good, and he's just a likable guy that really just genuinely loves Disney too. Do you have a favorite narrator, or is it Neil Patrick Harris?
It's Neil Patrick Harris. I mean, he's so him, that's such just a natural Disney. So I mean, he loves it. He's just a good person. I love his family. He brings himself to it, but in a way that is still pure and Disney and real. He's wonderful. I mean, I think it's so hard to get into his Candlelight Processionals, but if you can see.
I mean, people line up hours before the first show. All right, so lightning round question. I'm not going to give you time to think about it. I'm going to go around a horn. If you are now tasked with choosing one celebrity to be a celebrity narrator at Candlelight Procession that you'd like to hear, go.
And the room gets quiet.
All right, I'll help you out. I'll give you a choice.
Okay.
Who would you like to be a celebrity narrator? Morgan Freeman, James Earl Jones, or Christopher Walken?
Christopher Walken.
James Earl Jones.
Who has done it before?
Has he really?
In Disneyland.
Has he? Oh, I'd say James Earl Jones, too. Yeah.
James Earl Jones was going to be my lightning answer, actually, coming back. It was going back between Morgan Freeman. But it's Morgan Freeman is as awesome as it is. It's kind of become the Morgan Freeman voice has kind of become a joke. Like the,
God.
Hello, I'm Morgan
Please
Freeman.
God.
Come on, Christopher Walken?
Christopher Walken. Well, that's the question, too. Who would you want to narrate the story of your life? And, I mean, Christopher Walken is hands down my answer to that. For so many reasons. But no, I think, yeah, I would love to. I mean, talk about somebody who could inject their own personality into it and make it fun. And
somebody else that I would love to see do it, odd, like, out-of-the-box thought here, because I just love how classically English he sounds, Timothy Dalton.
Wow. A little James Bond, actually.
Oh, Colin Firth.
Calm down.
She's verklempt.
Jodie Benson, for those of you who are Disney fans, there are some the folks from the Disney world who are going to be as well. I've never seen her, but I heard Isabella Rossellini did a remarkable Candlelight Processional when she did it. So that's somebody I'd like to see too. And then you stay for the holiday tag of Illuminations. And then you waddle your way back to your resort because you've been eating all day long. Is there anything else that we missed in terms of the holidays, specifically in Walt Disney World? Obviously, something else that, while you're thinking about it, there's something else new that's coming up on December 31st. You talked about it being the final La Nuba show, but there's two new things that I don't believe are new. At the Contemporary Resort, they have a countdown to midnight on the 31st. But they also have, down in New Orleans, a New Year's Eve dining experience inspired by New Orleans and the Princess and the Frog for guests 21 and older only. I love, hear the words coming out of my mouth. I love New Orleans, and I would love to do that.
Yes.
I would love to do that.
I would rather do that than try and fight people in Epcot. Because that's where everybody... Well, that and Magic Kingdom. For me, if you've got to pick a theme park, if you were like, oh, I want to see fireworks for New Year's Eve, for me, it's Epcot. I was there on New Year's Eve as a cast member, and I was luckily... You know, of course, when they came around... At the time, I was a Fastpass cast member, when we still had Fastpass cast members. And we would essentially go on volunteer basis. Who would go work Illuminations seating back where they do the Fastpass now? Used to, you just go and just got there early enough and sat. You know, and we used to get kind of volunteer basis. Who would go work that? And I signed up for it for New Year's Eve. And I can able to say I've seen the New Year's Eve fireworks at Epcot, and they're amazing. But, yeah, you just mentioned Louisiana food, and I'm like, I'm down. Let's do this. Yep.
I love New Orleans. My favorite running event that I ever cheered at was in New Orleans because of all the food, and we need to go back.
Café du Mont Beignets, man.
I tell you about what they gave us as we were running through? We had king cakes, mimosas.
Did someone give you a hand grenade?
Oh, my gosh. There was an amazing amount of food and drinks that we took along that race. That was great.
You know, I think the point, too, is that there's... We've... we haven't even touched on everything that there is to do. And I think the point I was trying to make by doing this is that there is a lot to do above and beyond the Christmas party. I think we can all agree that, and Michael, you will as well once you go see it, that the Festival of the Holidays at Epcot, you know, there's something special about Magic Kingdom during the Christmas time, with the decorations, with the music, being in that park, seeing the castle lit up at night. Hollywood Studios is doing an excellent job of giving you a reason to go and a reason to stay into the evening for Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, the projections on the tower, all the entertainment, all the additional food. But Epcot right now, between the festival, the holidays, the interactive things, the entertainment, the fireworks, the candlelight processional, it really, you know, we talk about sort of missing lights of winter. People are like, forget lights of winter. That I want to go to the Festival of the Holidays. I say this for every festival. It may be my favorite festival because it's got that perfect combination. It's not just food. There's entertainment. There's stuff for kids to do. The holidays is about spending it with family and friends, and I think that's a great way to do it. Just wandering through Epcot, enjoying it however and wherever and with whomever you like.
I'm looking forward to Voices of Liberty. Year round, I love Voices of Liberty, especially going into the rotunda and seeing them inside the rotunda, sitting on the floor under the dome. It really is the best way to see them. But for me, for Christmas, they or the holidays, they're in the Dickensian attire. And like their version of Carol of the Bells is, you will not hear a better version than their version of that. It's,
and I forgot, Joyful, the other group, is out over by the fountain stage multiple times throughout the day, too. So there's entertainment, and there's something to do everywhere. And we haven't even, there was no mention of attractions, right? We didn't even, think about attractions, because everything that there is to do doesn't even involve going to the parks to ride rides.
But I think we led in with this, and I do. I think it's a time of year where, you know, whether you're visiting or you're a local, you know, just enjoying the parks, where you don't really need to think about the attractions or the normal things to do. I mean, I definitely think if you're ever going to budget time for outside of the parks, you know, during a vacation or as a local, it's this time of year. And it's, you know, I mean, other than mentioning Jingle Cruise, you know, being rethemed. There's just so much else to do and feel the holiday spirit. I've never decorated my house as early as I did this year, because as soon as you walk into Magic Kingdom and you see the hear the music and see the trees and the lights and smell the smells, you want to bring it home with you.
I grew up in a house that was very strict. We did not put Christmas music on until Black Friday. It was a thing. Mom decorated the house on Black Friday. Mom wasn't a Black Friday shopper. She decorated the house, and she would play Nat King Cole's, you know, Christmas album. So for me, that's Christmas. So when I walked into Magic Kingdom before, 2 days after Halloween, and it was what's happened? What's going on? It's too early. It's too soon. Yeah. But now it's okay, it's perfect. It's time. You know, it's time to do this. You know,
It was after the Wine and Dine 10K for us. I was driving home with a friend, and she was like, "Oh, check and see what's available for breakfast." So I popped into the app, and Be Our Guest popped up for 7:50 in the morning. So we were driving through the gates to go home, and all of a sudden we veered the other way.
Went left.
And we ended up in Magic Kingdom at 8:00 in the morning, and tears were shed. It's overnight. It had become the tree had gone up, and all the decor was up, and it was the first weekend of November. Which I have, for me, that's just not Christmas yet, but all of a sudden it was Christmas.
Yeah. It wasn't always like that. I remember, years ago, they would take down the jack-o'-lanterns, but the pumpkins would stay up. The autumn colors would stay up. The autumn leaves would stay up. And gradually, all that stuff would come down. And as you get to Thanksgiving, it's still kind of autumn looking in the park. But then you come back on Black Friday, boom, Christmas.
You know. Which is great if this is your one trip out of the year, and you can get Yahtzee. You're getting the best of. Yep. What's better is when you can hit the Halloween party and the Christmas party.
It's just 1 week out of the year where, because if you do it, no joke, the first Halloween party happened on my birthday, which is in August. So, like, you know, those things start earlier and earlier every year. Like, food and wine, I've kind of figured out what we're doing here. They start the weekend before Labor Day, and it runs to the weekend before Thanksgiving. And that's kind of the window. You can kind of expect that that's when it's going to happen. But there is that 1 week out of the year where if you come at that right time, you can catch that last Halloween party and catch that first Christmas party in one trip.
And one of these days when I do a show about, you know, living at Disney World, you know, moving down here and being a local, we'll talk about the adjustment of, you know, it being Halloween and 93 degrees outside, which is not conducive to wearing your Ewok costume.
Yeah, a friend of mine did that this year. She actually came down here, shout out Lori Burke. She came down here, saw Halloween, and left taking photos of Christmas before she left. I mean, she was like, this is the most magical time.
You come down for Halloween, and you can take your family Christmas card photo before you leave, right? You know, that's, yeah. So
any, do you have any final thoughts or tip or bit of advice for somebody who's coming down here for the holidays?
Definitely pack your patience because it's very crowded. Enjoy every moment. Look at all the little things around you because there are additions. Like I even mentioned Wilderness Lodge. We actually had Thanksgiving dinner at Wilderness Lodge. And there are different things that are there this year that I hadn't seen before. Like there's always the beautiful massive tree, which is one thing that I always try to do is do like a little Christmas tree hunt. You know, I'll do...
Talk about that. Go into the resorts to go see the trees and...
Every theme park, every resort, every tree is just expertly themed to its location. And just taking a photo of the whole tree doesn't always take into effect all the little details. So zoom in, you know, look yourself at all of the little details around you and just enjoy it. Don't look at the crowds and the lines as much as you look at the little things around you.
Yeah, and you're right. That's a, going to the different... Not to go off on a tangent, but so many people, I think, don't go to visit other resorts than the one that they're staying at because they think, well, I'm not... Say, forget about going there for the food. During the holidays, going to see the decorations, you know, because the Port Orleans French Quarter tree is very, very different than the Jumbo House tree, and it's very different than the one that you're going to see at the Polynesian. So.
Right. For me, if you're coming for Christmas, pack your patience. Because even now, when this used to be the ghost town time of year, we're here, what, 2 weeks after Thanksgiving, and usually this is a dead time. And I went to the party on Friday, and it was sold out. So it was, I mean, it was a packed party on Friday night. So for it's for me, the tip is, while, yeah, it may hit you in the wallet a little bit harder, make sure that you've given yourself the time that you need. Because there's a lot to see. There's a lot to do. And if you want to see it all, you need to plan. And you need to give yourself that time. Like we said, Epcot. Epcot's going to take you a day and a half, 2 days. You know, things like that. If you want to see these resorts, you're going to need to give yourself a day for that. You know, so make sure you get that time. Don't think that you can come down here for 4 days and knock it all out, because you probably can't do it. You're going to need to give yourself a little extra time in, because you've got to make for the people and you've got to make for all the extra stuff there is to do. So, time.
And I think this is really hard advice to give to a family who comes once every 4 years and, you know, has never ridden Space Mountain before. But if you're coming here trying to ride Space Mountain, you're going to get aggravated because it's going to be a three-hour line at some points during the holiday season. But, you know, they all say pack your patience, and I think that's true. But at the same time, there's so much to do that has nothing to do with the things that there are lines for. And if you come here just ready to immerse yourself in the holidays and the decor and the music and the... you know, the different parades and the, you know, what's going on at the various resorts. I mean, you could easily spend a vacation just visiting resorts and enjoying what's here, there, and at Disney Springs. So, I mean, I think if you're willing to have a different sort of vacation than you normally would at Disney World, I think it can be really, really lovely and not, you know, and not a situation where you're feeling like you're elbowing your way through crowds on Magic Kingdom on Christmas Eve.
You would think that my advice and my tip would be about food. I mean, not necessarily specifically about food, but to a certain degree, I think this is another great opportunity to venture outside your comfort zone and to try things that you haven't done before, because there is something special. Look, I can tell you why you should go visit the French Quarter on a regular trip. It's maybe not as compelling as going during the holidays because they do special things, because you can do a sleigh ride there or at Fort Wilderness. You know, even going to Epcot, and I know we're high on the Epcot train, don't just make sure you make time to maybe try something you haven't tried before, to to see a storyteller that might not be familiar to you. Something else I didn't mention that I really wanted to make sure that I touched on is something new this year in terms of entertainment. I think it's the only new entertainment that they have this year, and it's mostly kosher. And they were awesome. They were so fun. And whether you may not know, you know, the traditional holiday or klezmer music, it was super high energy. They were a lot of fun, and people were up, and they were singing and dancing. I mean, it was something really unique. And again, too, it's a way to get introduced to traditions and cultures that you wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah, thank you. It's a brand new addition at Epcot this year. I know they are super excited to be joining and have that spot. You'll find them they're right past Morocco in World Showcase. They have their own set, and it's, you know, they have regular shows posted throughout the day and evening every day, and it's just fun music, and it's my people, and I just it's heartwarming because there's such a huge crowd around them, and they are fun, and it's just cool to like walk up and see like a band called Mostly Kosher with a huge group of people, you know, just enjoying really good music. It's like everything that Epcot is about, you know.
It's like whether you're going to see them or Moroccan or the Taiko drummers, it's a great way to learn and be introduced. Look, I've come to really enjoy the Taiko drummers that I had never known about until I had come to Epcot, and now I love that kind of music. I am excited to go back specifically to Epcot to maybe do another Christmas party, and I don't want to just see another candlelight processional, but I really do want to see and taste what all of the holiday marketplaces have to offer. Listen, this is a time of not just food, but friends and family, and you are part of my extended family, Beatrice, Michael, Lisa, and you who are listening, sitting at this table sort of virtually with us. That's what the holidays are all about, and I appreciate you not just being part of the nation, but for the friendship you've extended to me and for sharing tonight with us. And I think we should celebrate this by a little bit of holiday poutine. When I say holiday poutine, I mean two or three different poutines that we can all share, and then we have to go test out some of those holiday treats at Amaretz.
Wait, we're at Disney Springs and we're not going to Boathouse? I was... What? I sat here this whole time. No.
Listen, there was a tiny part of me that's like, you know, we could just go sit out on the dock at Boathouse and just... But
I've never been.
What?
I know.
Oh, my... I have to take...
I know. I've never been.
The parking garage at 3. We've got time.
And listen, I'm sure we could get a table out at Boathouse and see what sort of holiday treats they have there. If you want to go there instead, maybe we could. All right. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much. But you... My friend who's listening, I want to know if you've ever been to the holidays at Walt Disney World, and if so, what is the one thing that you enjoy or would recommend the most? And if not, what's the one thing that you really do want to see? And hopefully, if not this year, someday in the future, if you've never been before, you can experience the holidays at Walt Disney World, because it truly is something special. So thank you guys for being here. Thank you guys for listening. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Festivus. For the rest of us. It's time for the airing of grievances.
A lot of problems with you people.
I have problems with you people.
It's time for our Walt Disney World Trivia Question of the Week, where I invite you to test your knowledge of Walt Disney World's history or see how well you pay attention to the details in what you see, sometimes what you hear, who knows, maybe even what you taste. If you think you know the answer, you can enter via our online forum for a chance to win a Disney prize package. Of course, before we get to this week's question, we're going to go back, review last week's, and select our winner. So last week's show was all about Walt Disney as we celebrate his birthday on December 5th. And the question that I asked you for the trivia contest was about Walt, but also about food. Because Walt's legacy can be found throughout the parks and resorts, sometimes even in places that he may have never even visited or even envisioned. In fact, there's a lot of locations, like the subject of last week's question, that have a
connection to Walt in one way or another. For example, Paddlefish in Disney Springs is a restaurant that was once known as Fulton's Crab House. But before that, that restaurant was known by a different name. And so I asked you to tell me, what was that floating, in air quotes, restaurant originally known as, and maybe how was that connected to Walt? And again, I want to thank the hundreds of you who entered, got this one correct. Maybe some of you even shared some personal stories and photos of you on the Empress Lily, which was named after Walt's wife. And the ship itself was a recreation of a 220-foot 19th century paddle wheeler. And it was originally decorated sort of in a Louis XV style when it opened back in May of 1977. Not only was it named after Lily and Disney, it was christened by Lily and Disney. It closed in April 1995 and reopened as Fulton's Crab House, and then closed in 2016 to become Paddlefish. I actually did an entire deep look. I called it a DSI, Disney Scene Investigation, on the Empress Lily. If you go back to show 123, we give you a detailed history of the restaurant and all of its connections to Walt. But for this week's purposes, I took all of your correct entries, randomly selected one. Again, you are playing for the 102 Ways to Save Money for an At Walt Disney World book, all seven of my virtual audio walking tours of the Magic Kingdom, a WW Ready Magic Band cover, stickers, and the pop socket and phone stand. And last week's winner, randomly selected, is Frank Rye. And hopefully, Frank, I'm pronouncing your last name correctly. So, Frank, I have your information to ship your package out because you use the online form. If you played last week and didn't win, forget about it. We're going to move on because here's your next chance to enter in this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Challenge. So it's the holidays. It's winter time in Florida, which means it's hovering about 84 degrees. But it doesn't matter because I'm still in the holiday spirit and season. And the Christmas music is playing throughout the parks and resorts. And it just makes you want to sing along. And that's what made me think of the question for this week's trivia contest. Because we're going to talk about a specific sing-along in Walt Disney World, specifically, for the first time in forever, a Frozen sing-along celebration at Disney's Hollywood Studios. It obviously takes place in the old American Idol Theater, but your question for this week is to tell me, what are the names of the two historians in the first time in forever, a Frozen sing-along celebration show at Disney's Hollywood Studios? All I need to tell me, tell me the names of the two historians. You have until Sunday, December 10th, to go to www.radio.com, click on the podcast link at the top or center of the page, go to this week's show. In the show notes, you'll find the online entry form. Again, you're going to play for the book, all seven audio tours, the Magic Band cover, the stickers, and the pop socket. So good luck and have fun. That's going to do it for this week's show. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in this and every week. I know how valuable your time is for you, especially during this crazy, busy, bustling holiday season. So the fact that you choose to spend and share some of it with me means a great deal. Just a couple of quick announcements. Don't forget that you can get a copy of my new book, 102 Things to Do in Walt Disney World at Least Once, free just by visiting the homepage over at www.radio.com. Also, don't forget to like our Facebook page at facebook.com/WWRadio. You can follow me on social. I'm at Lou Mangiello everywhere else. Thanks, as always, to some of the new and longtime members of the WW Radio Nation family. I appreciate all of you who have joined, the hundreds who are part of this family and community, including Benjamin Zimmerman, Andrew Milan, and Anthony Mole. And if you want to not only help the show, help sort of keep the lights on, and get exclusive rewards every month, including scavenger hunts you can take with you to the parks, you can access to our private Facebook group, have a lot of great conversations going on there, a personalized custom Magic Band cover, logo gear, t-shirts, care packages from Walt Disney World, and you can be part of our live video group calls every month, and lots more. To find out more and to become part of the nation, visit www.radio.com/support. And don't forget that a portion of your proceeds do go to the Make-A-Wish Foundation through our Dream Team project. Again, it's completely optional, but it's a great way for you to help show your support for the show. Don't forget to join me every Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern for WW Radio Live. I do a live video broadcast either from the home studio, oftentimes out and about from the parks. You can turn on notifications on the WW Radio page so you don't miss the show on Wednesday night and other times that I go live from the parks and resorts, especially now during the holiday season. I've got some special broadcasts coming up soon. If you want to have a question answered on the air, you can email me, lou@wwradio.com. Better yet, if you want to just say hi from the parks, tell me about one of your favorite shows or episodes or interviews or guests, or just say hello, you can call 407-900-9391 and leave a voicemail. I will play on the air. Of course, as much as I love connecting with you guys online and on social, I think that nothing beats a handshake and a hug. And our next meet of the month in Walt Disney World is going to be this Saturday, December 9th at 11 a.m. from 11 to 12. We're going to be in Disney Springs at the Waterview Park, which is that open-air park seating area right next to the boathouse, because it's right next to the boathouse. We'll meet there at 11, be there till about 12. Please come by, say hi, whether you come alone or bring the family. Anyone and everyone is welcome and invited. There's obviously no cost. If you are coming, I'd love for you to go to the event page at facebook.com/WWRadio and let us know that you're coming. Also, stay tuned and check out that page for other upcoming events and group cruises. We still have a few spots remaining at opening day pricing for our Alaska cruise in June 2018. The kids are out of school. It's time for a break. The weather is perfect. It's my favorite destination. And I'm going to announce some group excursions and some special events soon. But it might be too late if you wait too long to get in. So definitely go to the event page. You can get a free, no-obligation quote from our friends over at Mouse Fan Travel. I'll also do other meetups and events, not just in Walt Disney World, but on the road as I travel to speak. And speaking of speaking, if I can come to speak to your business, at your conference, at your event, or even to your school or child's school, you can go to visit loumangiello.com, click on the speaking tab. And more importantly, if I could help you individually turn your passion into your profession, if you have an idea, don't just know what to do with it, if you have a website or a blog or a podcast and don't know how to take things to the next level and you want to do maybe some one-on-one mentoring, I'd love to help you turn what you love into what you do. Visit loumangiello.com, click on the coaching tab to find out more. Thanks as always to Mouse Fan Travel, my official recommended travel provider. It's who I recommend because it's who I use. It's that simple. And because I know that you will not only get that level of service that we expect when we talk about and visit places like Disney, but they're going to make sure you get the best possible pricing. Visit them at mousefantravel.com and then go visit celebrationspress.com. You can subscribe, get back issues, and their new holiday book as well. And as always, my friend, and you are my friend, whether we have met yet or not, all I ask is simple. If you like the show, please help spread the word. Invite other people to be part of this amazing community that you have created. And if you can, take just 30 seconds to go to iTunes to rate and review the show. Thanks to you, we have, I think, around 1,400 five-star reviews. I want to thank some recent reviewers like Cornerstone Member, who says it's fun and well done. Lou brings a little bit of Disney magic each week with informative guests and exciting topics. Combine that with his upbeat personality and it keeps me coming back. Excellent podcast. Kirsty, Orlando-based, but from the United Kingdom, says it's fantastic from Disney Nuts. I love Lou and his podcast. I'm imagining Kirsty saying this in her wonderful English accent. They're all great for learning about the park's history and details, as well as planning. My favorites, spelled with a U, are the top tens, but really, they're all fantastic. Real Early says, it puts a Mickey-shaped smile on your face. And if you ever need a good pick-me-up in the middle of the day, I tune into WW Radio and let Lou take me to the most magical place on earth. Great show. Thank you, Real Early. And Disney Princess 1226 from Canada says, it's a lot of Lou. I hope she means that in a good way. I'm a relatively new listener thanks to a friend who referred me to your podcast, helped spread the word, see, and the Facebook page and everything Lou. I have to say, I've become obsessed. I've binge listened to every episode pretty much in the last month. You're right, that's a lot of Lou. I love, love, love listening to your shows. They give me that Disney fix until I can visit Disney World again. We try and go every year. My family and I are visiting in November. Would love to know if you're doing a meet of the month. I am. I did. Sorry I didn't get a chance to meet you. I also want to get the hubby a Lou t-shirt. They are awesome. He shares your love of food. Can't wait to hear the next podcast. Thank you for sharing your love of Disney with the world. You are truly amazing. Wow, you're going to make me cry. And I've really come to love Becky as well. You guys make an awesome team. We can't get enough of Lou, said with oh so many U's. Thank you so much, Disney Princess 1226. I hope to get a chance to meet you soon. If you want to leave a review, just search for WDW Radio on iTunes. And speaking of, she mentioned the t-shirts, so I might as well. If you go to wdwradio.com/merch, M-E-R-C-H, you'll find that we have a lot of different WDW Radio and other Disney-related shirts in our online store, including our WDW Radio Christmas sweater, Box People shirts, anniversary shirts, Lou Sent Me shirts, and I'm Just Here for the Food. And right now, they're actually on sale. All t-shirts are just $14. Again, visit wdwradio.com/merch, and it'll take you right there. Finally, and most importantly, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the love and the support and the messages and every other way that you are such an important part and an important member of this community that you guys have created. I am grateful to and for you. And if there's ever anything I can do to help you, by all means, please let me know. I want to try and help you get from where you are to where you want to be. As we start to get to New Year's, where it's a time of goals and resolutions and things like that, the best advice I can give you to get started is remember that the hardest part is just showing up, right? And what I mean by that is whether you're running a marathon or going to school or following your dream, whatever it is, don't give up before you start. All you need to do is just get started. Start taking those first steps, however small they are, and that domino, that ripple effect will start to take over. And as a wise, wise man who happens to be celebrating a birthday once said, always keep moving forward. I hope that this is your best week ever. Thanks again for listening. See ya.
Hi, Lou. It's Christine Morrison from Flowertown, PA. I just listened to your most recent podcast about things we love about Spaceship Earth. And I am sure I'm not the only one who has done this. But a lot of times when I'm on that ride, I find myself looking over at the faces of my children to see how they're experiencing the ride. And I have to say, it's one of my favorite things to do because the looks on their faces, the awe, the smiles, the pure enjoyment is really fun. And it really puts a big smile on my face. So that is my favorite thing about Spaceship Earth. Continue to do what you're doing. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Tim Foster, you crack me up. I love it. And I'll see you in the box. Take care. Bye.
Hey, Lou, this is Ryan from Portland. My son and I are standing here in Animal Kingdom, and we just had our first experience on Flights of Passage here. And, oh, wow, we're both overwhelmed. It's awesome. I thought I'd let my son, Mike, tell you all about it.
Oh, my goodness. It's so much better. I just want to come back here out in Avatar. It's just so much better. This is amazing. It's like I was actually there. It's just blowing stuff, putting smells at you.
All right, Dad. Hey, congrats on the upcoming 500 episode. Thanks for all you do.
Hi, Lou. This is Vinny from Eastern Pennsylvania, and it is Monday, November 27th. My family and I just got here to Walt Disney World. Here at the Magic Kingdom, seeing all the decorations and the big Christmas tree, and well, we just wanted to say how beautiful it is and how amazing it looks. And we hope that one day we'll get to meet you. And, we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Hello, Lou Mangiello, WDW Radio Group, WDW Radio Box People, WDW Radio Cruisers, WDW Radio Running Team. This is Darlene Nagy from West Seneca, New York, and I'm calling in today to tell you about what I like most, love most about Walt Disney. I love the fact that he thought up this park of Disneyland and then of everything that went along with Walt Disney World, all of his dreams that he made come true. He was one man that did not stop, even though he was put behind because of something happening years ago. you know, the man was amazing, absolutely, from a young boy having that paper route all the way up to going and starting a company in Hollywood with Roy and, you know, joining in business ventures with him. It is utterly amazing to see and hear. I love it. I was in tears listening to the beginning and the show this week throughout. I loved it. Thank you so much, Lou and Jim Korkus, for sharing these shows with us. And I hope everyone gets a chance to listen to it because it was absolutely wonderful. Thank you so very much. Stay positive, like Lou always says. Love you all. Have a great day.